Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the longest running and most successful ad campaigns in history is the Priceless campaign by MasterCard. I'm sure that you've heard various versions of this over the years. It's been going for 20 years now. One of the earliest versions of the Priceless campaign shows a father and a son, and they're headed into a baseball stadium. And as they make their way in, there's words and numbers appear on the screen, and a voiceover says, "Tickets, $46. And then they go in and they get their food, and it says, "Hot dogs and soda, $27. And then they get a souvenir baseball, an autographed one, and it says, "Autographed baseball, $50. And then it shows them sitting there in the stands, and they're pointing out at the field, and they're smiling, and they're talking back and forth, and it says, "Real conversation, priceless." This dynamic, I think, captures both the real costs of going to a Major League Baseball game, but it also points beyond that to something else, something that you can't put a price tag on, something that is a sheer gift, something that is precious beyond cost. There are several other versions of this advertisement which count the cost of various activities, but then they point beyond that to that which you can't purchase or earn, to that which is indeed priceless. Now, I have to say I'm a little bit reluctant to let a credit card company help me make a point about the Christian life this morning, but I think this campaign really captures some important dynamics about what it means to follow Jesus. I think this advertisement, this whole campaign, can specifically help us understand a little bit better what's going on in our gospel reading for this morning. As we heard, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. This is part of the travel narrative in Luke, where Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, preaching and teaching along the way. And so the cross is looming over everything he's been doing and saying over these last several weeks. And now we hear that there are large crowds around him. There are all kinds of people there who are following Jesus, not really knowing entirely what they're getting themselves into, apparently. And so Jesus turns to them and he tells them that before they take another step, they need to count the cost. Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, spouse and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." That's one way to thin out a crowd, right? What in the world is going on here? What is Jesus saying? Well, the first thing we need to understand is that in Jesus' time, especially among the Jewish people, they loved to speak using hyperbole. A very common way of speaking among Jesus and his people, using this extreme rhetoric to make a point. We hear Jesus doing this off and on. There's the passage where Jesus says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out," right? This is rhetoric. It's language that is extreme to make a point. It is language that should not be taken literally, but darn well should be taken seriously. Jesus does not literally want his followers to hate their parents. Jesus honors the fourth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. He keeps that commandment. There's this beautiful, tender scene towards the end of John's gospel when Jesus is on the cross and his mother is there and the beloved disciple is there. And Jesus says to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." He gives her into the custody of the beloved disciple. And he says to John, "Here is your mother." Jesus is taking care of his mother. He's honoring his mother. He's loving his mother even as he's carrying out his ministry. So loving your mother and following Jesus, Jesus carrying out his ministry, they're not mutually exclusive here. Jesus does not literally mean that his followers must hate their spouses and their children. While Jesus himself did not marry, when he was asked about marriage and related issues, Jesus went back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. "Therefore a man leaves his mother and father and is joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh." Jesus cites that text as authoritative. And then he goes on to add his own exclamation point to it, saying, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one rend asunder." Jesus does not expect us to hate our children. Jesus rebukes those who would prevent them from coming to him, those children from coming to him. Jesus points to children as examples of faith. He says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, to children. Jesus says that whoever leads a little child into sin, it's better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and to be thrown into the sea. So you tell me, do you think Jesus wants us to love children? I think so. And not only our own biological or adopted children, but all the children of the world. Jesus doesn't literally want us to hate our brothers and sisters. He calls his followers to love one another, to love all people, to love even our enemies. And I know that for some of us, our brothers and sisters and our enemies are the same people. Am I right? Sometimes that's the case. So these harsh, shocking words from Jesus are not to be taken literally, but they are to be taken seriously. Jesus says there's a cost to following him. Jesus wants us to love and honor our families, but he does not want our families and other people to be used as an excuse for not following him 100%, completely. There's a cost to following Jesus, and so Jesus is encouraging the crowd and us here today as we hear his word to count that cost. Jesus goes on to say, what builder doesn't, when he's preparing to build a tower, you know, he sits down and he estimates the cost and materials to make sure he has enough to finish the job, right? Or he says, what king preparing to wage war on another king doesn't count the troops first and to see if he has a chance at it, right? Likewise, you are to count the cost. Count the cost before you step out and follow me. So what does it cost us to follow Jesus? I think you know. Sometimes it means enduring ridicule or scorn from others, even sometimes from those who are closest to you. Following Jesus surely means carrying a cross. Jesus said as much. It means being willing to suffer for his sake. It means living a life of sacrificial love. It means acknowledging that Christian life isn't always pleasant or fun or entertaining or easy. Following Jesus, Jesus says, means giving up all our possessions. Now, this here likely is another bit of hyperbole. We're not literally asked to give a vow of poverty, but what Jesus is saying here is to get rid of anything, get rid of those possessions that come in the way of following me. Put me first, above everything else. We are called today to count these costs, to tally them up, to acknowledge them, to reflect upon them. I have to say, when I first saw that this was our gospel reading for Rally Sunday, that I was mortified. Great, this is supposed to be a celebratory Sunday. We're all getting back in the routine, and we have Sunday school starting again. It's kind of a day of celebration, and here we are with a text like this. But as I let this gospel reading get a hold of me, I started to see that actually this is a perfect reading for us today. Because you see, many of our families here at Oak Harbor Lutheran, with a new school year beginning, they're counting the cost, both financially and in terms of time commitments. They're counting the cost of what extracurricular activities to be involved in this new school year. Our members here at Oak Harbor Lutheran, members of all ages, are counting the cost of what it might take to be involved in different ministries. We're doing those time and talent surveys. There's all these ministries starting up, so people are asking, do I have time to check out that new Bible study? Will I help out with Munchie Monday this year? Am I going to sing in the choir this year? Am I going to, maybe this will be the year that I finally help out with the altar guild? People are calculating, right? And whereas my personality is such that I would only gently nudge or gently encourage, that's just kind of who I am, but Jesus is all up in your face today. Jesus is all up in your business saying, put me first. If you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to follow me, Jesus is saying, it's going to cost you something. Might cost you time. At the very least, it'll cost you time. Time such that you might have to give up something else. It might cost you certain aspects of your reputation as people find out that you hang around with those weirdo Christians. It might cost you some measure of your comfort. as you learn to live in community with other sinners. Following Jesus always costs us something. And so we have this call, harsh though it may be, it's also actually very timely, this call to count the costs and to follow Jesus. But my friends, this is not the whole of the Christian life. This is not all that Scripture has to say to us. This is not, thankfully, the end of the story. Thankfully, Luke's gospel continues past this reading for today. Our reading comes from a gospel book, but it is not yet the gospel. It is not yet the good news. For that, we have to move ahead in the story. You see, after Jesus said all this to these large crowds, he continued that journey to Jerusalem. And it was there that he himself counted the cost. It was there that he entered into the battle against sin, death, and the devil. It was there that Jesus carried the only cross that can ultimately save us. Jesus paid the price so that those enemies would be defeated. Jesus earned forgiveness and life and salvation for us by giving up everything he had in a remarkable display of sacrificial love. Jesus made it possible for us to live a new and abundant life with him, a life that's so great that we do, in fact, begin to hate the old sinful life that we leave behind. Jesus paid the entire cost of our salvation with his own precious body and blood. And so St. Paul would later write, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." And so when it comes to the Christian life, there are two things that are true at the very same time. Our life in Christ costs us nothing, while at the same time, our life in Christ costs us everything. We are called to give the Lord Jesus our everything. We are called to love and serve him with our heart and our mind and our soul, even when it is hard, especially when it is hard. We're called today to calculate that cost and then willingly and joyfully pay it. But we do so in response to what Christ has already done for us. What he has done for us is something that you cannot put a price tag on. His forgiveness, his life, his salvation that he gives to us, it all comes as a sheer gift. It's not something that can be purchased or earned. And so even as we count the cost of discipleship this morning, we do so already knowing that Christ's love for us is truly priceless. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing.